Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Your Best Life. I am your host, Joan Irvine, or Dr. Joan, as many people call me. I'm a doctor of clinical hypnotherapy, a cannabis advocate, a sex educator, a speaker, and a community leader in Redondo Beach. Plus, there's been many other chapters in my life that I'll be sharing during future shows. But I want to give you a quick background, which is not going to be as quick since I'm 75, so take a little while. I was raised on Long Island, New York, went to 13 years of parochial school, earned a BA in psychology from the University of Kansas. I was a hippie in the late 60s and a token chick leader on campus. I ended up in the corporate world. I was in sales for L'Oreal in Colorado, went back to school for computer sciences in my 30s because I wanted to do more professional sales. I was a programmer at Bell Labs, and then returned to sales for ADP, Automatic Data Processing, and I was promoted and transferred to San Francisco. One of my few regrets in life is that I didn't move to California sooner. I love the weather, the people, and the opportunities. I was married for 14 years and chose not to have children, which allowed me to live a road less traveled. After my divorce, I moved to L.A. I decided I wanted to help people on a more personal basis. So in my 40s, I once again returned to school and earned my Doctor of Clinical Hypnotherapy certificate. The reason I chose this area is I stopped smoking through hypnotherapy and neurolinguistic program, and it worked. Plus, it meshed with my behavior modification background. My thesis was on using hypnosis for sexual enhancement. Yes, I loved it. I wrote a book on recipes for hot sex, the book for a spicy sex life, Just Add Love. I was interviewed by Barbara Walters on The View in 1998, and a segment of this show is on my website, drjoanirvine.com, on the About page. Then in 2002, I accepted a position at an online child protection association, which was funded by the adult entertainment industry. This changed the course of my career for 20 years and was another interesting education. I spent time lobbying in D.C., Europe, and Australia, and developing award-winning child protection technology. Plus, and you'll love this, Stormy Daniels was a spokesperson for this program. Yes. You know, I've imbibed in cannabis off and on since the 60s. So when adult-use cannabis became legal in California in 2016, I knew I wanted to be part of it. I could go on, but if you want more information about my background for this chapter of my life, you can go to drjoanirvine.com to the About page. Or if you want to know about my corporate background, go to LinkedIn and search on Joan Irvine. You know, my personal mission and the reason for doing this show is to help people have better lives, no matter what age they are. It takes some effort and even learning new skills, but I will be here to guide you through the process. For example, I have been interviewed numerous times on radio and TV and presented and moderated many panels, but this is the first time I've hosted a show, and it is a learning experience. However, I feel so supported by my community in this new adventure, and it is an adventure. You may have noticed the uplifting music that introduced my show and will run occasionally during breaks. It was composed by Charisse Ray, Stephen Smythe, and Randy Brigden. I was honored when they agreed to produce this for me. I like their music and attend as many of their performances as I can. I still love to dance to rock and roll a few times a week, and it is so good for my fitness. I always laugh because I'll dance for a few hours and think nothing of it. But if I was attending a fitness class at a gym, I'd probably be complaining after about 15 minutes. You know, my mantra is baby boomers still rock, and we deserve to enjoy our lives to the fullest. We don't have to buy into the outdated societal beliefs about aging. In fact, there is now research by a Yale professor and leading expert on psychology on successful aging, Dr. Becker Levy. She draws on her groundbreaking research to show how aging beliefs can be improved so they benefit all aspects of the aging process, including the way genes operate and the extension of our lives by 7.5 years. Did you hear that? 7.5 years of a better life. You know, us baby boomers have always shattered the norms since we were young, and we continue to do so. In general, I'll be talking about cannabis, health, wellness, sex and seniors, Redondo Beach, and Keep the Esplanade Beautiful, a local charity with a mission of engaging the community to take responsibility for keeping this natural resource beautiful for all to enjoy. But today, I have a special guest, and part of our discussion will be about cannabis and regulations in Redondo. So without further ado, I am pleased to launch this program, Your Best Life, with Jonathan, and I keep on messing up your name, check?
Svetko,
as my first guest. And Jonathan's a friend of mine, and here I can't even say his last name. You know, Jonathan is a South Bay native, and he is a Redondo Union High School graduate. Go Seahawks!
Indeed.
And Jonathan is the executive director of the United Cannabis Business Association. But Jonathan, tell us about yourself. I have all this information, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Well, I think one of the better things, let's start off with this. You and I have been friends for many years now.
Yes.
Right? And so I'm really honored that I get to be here today with you on your first show. Thank you so very much for that opportunity. And in all the years that we've known each other, I will also say I've had friends even longer that I've known that still can't pronounce my last name. So don't even think twice about it. But again, thank you very much for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. What's there to say? You know, in the background on that, grew up here in Redondo Beach, like you mentioned, went to high school here as well, too. Very glad to be living here along with my partner for many years now. But then you and I got to connect over some of the more interesting stuff here in the city. You know, when Prop 64 ended up coming forward for vote and all that, shortly after that, you and I connected and we saw how we could do our part to kind of bring in cannabis responsibly into our South Bay communities, specifically here in Redondo Beach. And so you and I mean, we'll be getting to talk about that, but we've been working on it for many years and it's exciting and very well worthwhile that we get to do that.
Oh, that's great. But you forgot to mention a lot more of your background, that you have been on several cannabis advisory committees, both L.A. County, Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach. You've been doing educational meetings for legislative groups like the Council of Governments. You spent a lot of time in Sacramento working on cannabis regulations, and you were even asked to apply for the top position in the cannabis, LA City Cannabis Department. I mean, that's a real honor and really shows how much you know about it.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and it's kind of surprising to see. You know, over the last several years, we started our involvement in this, I'm sure no different than you did on that, to where it was very much a social justice movement, right? And it still is to this day. And we had opportunities with friends to kind of get involved with, which is where you and I met over at Women Grow originally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you know, we were advocating very heavily within the county of Los Angeles, you know, and it's really interesting. I think most people oversee or don't necessarily recognize that the county as a whole of Los Angeles itself has a population bigger than 42 other states in America. So, I mean, as far as the market goes here and the opportunities, it's been massive, right? We started with, you know, the expungement clinics, right? So we've really focused on those originally because Prop 64 allowed for people who had previous, you know, records on cannabis to have that expunged. And now that we've gotten that automated, we've been able to focus more on the regulations and how we bring in cannabis into cities and what's the responsible ways to kind of do that stuff. And that's really where I think you and I are going to get to shine and continue the work that we get to do here.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, you were talking about one of the things you did was for the equity. I mean, one of the things I do is I want to make sure that when there are dispensaries in Redondo Beach, that they are in areas that are comfortable for seniors to go to.
Absolutely.
That they are upscale. We are Redondo Beach. That we have upscale dispensaries, like I always talk about the Leaf in Palm Desert on El Paseo. Mm-hmm. I want it to be nice to walk into. I don't want to walk into a place that just is kind of grungy. That's not my style, nor is it a Redondo style. But tell me, now, why did you get involved in the industry? You mentioned about the equity, but why on a personal basis did you get involved?
You know, it's evolved, right? So it's a couple of things. First off, you know, I grew up very much learning that cannabis was the devil's lettuce, right? So you don't touch it, you don't do anything with it. And then my mother-in-law ended up getting sick with cancer. And I really understood what the benefits were health-wise and otherwise for her. And it was a really drastic way for me to understand what I grew up knowing, what I thought was true around cannabis, or at the time what people would say marijuana, right? And that experience really opened my eyes into seeing what the actual truth was behind it. In the process of while we kind of did more of the social advocacy kind of stuff work on there, and of course bringing in the legalization going in there, it's turned and evolved into an opportunity also for business for me as well too. And so while I've been an entrepreneur along with my partner for many years, we've had an opportunity now to kind of get into the industry and actually have a little bit more skin in the game to where now we actually have our own cannabis delivery and distribution service based out in Montebello, California.
Okay. It was great. You were talking about the devil's lettuce. When I was growing up, it was reefer madness. You got high and it showed everybody going crazy and it showed everybody having crazy sex, which of course that does work. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I like that part of it. But also we need to do a disclaimer. Always talk with your doctor about cannabis, if you're going to be doing it, because as anything else that we may digest, it could interact with other medications you are taking. And as we always say in the industry, go low and slow, mm-hmm. low dosage and slow until you know how you react. Because one of the worst things is to get too high, and people have gotten too high, and they go, I hate it, I didn't like the way I felt. Well, you just did too much. So you have to really kind of adjust what you're doing to to yourself.
It is, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, if not to equate it too much with alcohol, but I mean, how many people had their first experience with alcohol where they had too much, right? And yet you had the hangover the next day and so on. But with weed, you don't really have those same complications in there, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be an interesting thing. And again, very much so while we're all about, talking about the health benefits, but also about how you use this responsibly.
Oh, yeah, and saying that, I remember when I was a teenager doing a little bit too much of gin when you snuck it out. I have not done gin since I was in high school because of that experience. So Jonathan, why do you think cities like Redondo have been so resistant to legalizing cannabis businesses?
If there was one answer, we probably wouldn't have the problems that we do here today, and that's just throughout California. But I think part of it is just really we've had 100-plus years of a stigma behind this, right? And like I said earlier, it was the devil's lettuce. We've had 100 years of people believing one way what they thought to be true about cannabis, and now they're learning that that's not it. And you don't unwind all that knowledge just within a few years. And, keep in mind, what is it now? We've started, here we are, January of 2024. We started the campaign for Prop 64 end of 2014 into 2015, and it passed in 2016. So it's been now, what, 4, 5, 6 years since we passed it, and we still don't have legal cannabis technically here in Redondo Beach. But there is a nice little loophole we'll be talking about, and loophole's probably not the right thing because it's all about the regulated stuff, and there is some fun things we'll get into here.
Okay, great. Yeah, and plus one of the things is, they use children. I mean, and I've been involved in online child protection, as I mentioned, for 20 years. But, you can't watch TV, listen to the radio, be on social or mainstream media without hearing, reading about cannabis. And some cities think they're protecting their children by not allowing legal businesses. All this has done is allow the illegal market to grow. And please explain the differences between the legal cannabis businesses and the black market.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most striking differences we know too is that on the legal cannabis side of things, we actually have tested product. And so what that means for the consumer is that you know what the potency is for the cannabis that you're getting, which, certainly can make a big impact on, if you're going to be using this, right? And you want to know that. The other part is also, we have pesticide testing in there. Not just pesticide, but also for molds, also for heavy metals and all that going in there. And when you think about it, if you're going to be consuming any products, you'd certainly want it to be safe and for you to consume on there. That's something that we don't see on the unlicensed side of the market, right? The unlicensed market doesn't have that same level, nor is there any oversight of that in there. We've had countless, results from people that have done like secret shopping on that, where they have pesticide levels that are, 100 times over what the limits are, so on and so forth. That is a big difference between the two, right? And that's coming in from the regulatory side as to why I would encourage people to consider purchasing, obviously, from the licensed market rather than the unlicensed. However, the other part that I think sometimes consumers could see the difference between the two is taxes. You know, and that, and that's really unfortunate. You know, it's kind of the, it's the ticket price, right, to having legal cannabis in California. There are taxes associated with that. Those taxes go for good things such as enforcement, such as, you know, testing and so on. But when you go to the unlicensed market, there are no taxes in that. And so a lot of consumers are still incentivized to go that way. And that's why I think this education piece that you and I get to kind of work on is going to be really important to understand with the community here. Where's the right way to be able to get your cannabis?
Okay. Now, how can people... also another thing I want to say, with one thing about the legal market versus the illegal market, however you want to call it, or the illicit market, is age verification. You cannot walk into a dispensary without having an ID that they run through a program so they make sure that you're over 21 or over 18 if you, you know, have a medical card. And so I think that's really important for people to know. The illegal market does not do the same. So most of the kids, if they're getting product, they're getting it from illegal market or they're getting it from their friends, you know, and we can't stop that.
You know, and I think it's another interesting distinction, you know, the communities in general, when we're talking about why they've been so hesitant to get cannabis to date, we're still relatively comfortable with having local liquor stores, right? And those liquor stores are selling everything from candies for kids to chips to obviously liquor itself, and they have no restrictions on who comes into those stores. You know, parents can come in with their kids. Kids can walk in by themselves. Cannabis stores or even cannabis delivery services, you don't even get that opportunity for the license side, obviously. So, you know, I think it's, again, a big education lift that we're still working on here in California to showcase that we can do this responsibly and that it is an actual benefit to the community going forward.
Okay. And also, there are starting to be studies that are coming out that youth usage actually goes down once you have legal markets because then the black market is away and they can't get access to it.
Absolutely true.
But how can one be certain that when they're buying product from a legal dispensary?
You know, one of the better ways to do that is, is the state actually has a website where you can put in the address and put that forward. Here in LA County, one of the things that I'm really proud that we got to work on is that we've actually implemented what's called a health permit program. And it's actually run by the county's health permit department, pardon me, that actually will put up logos and signs on the shops themselves that show the customers that these are actually licensed and legal shops. So that's another way to kind of distinguish on those things going forward. It's not foolproof, obviously, but at the same time, it's one of the better ways. And then some of the other work we've done in the past that we're quite proud with is Weed Maps, which is quite well known to many consumers out there. It wasn't until we ended up passing or running a bill about 3-4 years ago right now that it required them to only be able to advertise licensed operators. And so that was another big turning point to where consumers, if they want to understand where they can get safe access to cannabis, Weed Maps is another great resource now because now you can fully understand that you're going to be getting it from a licensed place.
That's great. Also, most people think about going to a dispensary or to a store to buy cannabis, but because of COVID and restrictions by cities and convenience, delivery is another popular way to buy cannabis. Plus, and we'll talk about this more, as of January 1st, no city can prohibit medical marijuana delivery. Now, what qualifies for medical use and delivery, and how does one obtain, I'm going to ask you a lot here, obtain a medical card, and what's the difference between a medical card and a state medical card?
Okay. Let's see. Let's unwrap that for a second.
Yeah. Step back.
Yeah, no problem. So a couple of things. So when it comes down to it, on the products end of stuff, there's really very little distinction. It's more about the quantity that you can get within a product, right? So if you have a medical recommendation from your doctor, and we'll get into that in a second, then you're actually able to be able to purchase sometimes cannabis in quantities that are higher than what you would actually get as an adult use, the regular kind of purchasing with cannabis going in there, right? So that's one of the things to distinguish between in there. But when we talk about getting that recommendation from a doctor, it's kind of like the typical stuff that we had prior to Prop 64, where, you know, in California, we've had like 20 years of a quasi-legal market where people could always get in if they had a recommendation from their doctor to take care of their various ailments. And so, you know, I'll call that the Venice Beach kind of doctor card, if you will, right? You've seen those doctors around, but they are legitimate, right? And you can go online and you can find a lot of these places where you can actually apply for it. Mm-hmm. Costs maybe 30, 40 bucks or so, and you get it within minutes usually after seeing the doctor in there, if you are qualified for that, of course. That card will give you the access to be able to get medical cannabis, and especially in communities like ours here in Redondo Beach that have yet to have allowed for adult use cannabis to come in here, it's a great way to be able to get legal access to cannabis going forward. There is, though, another card that's kind of interesting. I think most people really don't recognize the benefits of it out there. The state puts out a medical marijuana ID card. It's an official card, right? So you kind of got to get the first one that we're talking about, right? And then there's through the county. I think there's like three different locations, but you can go online and see this. Through the county, you can apply for this card, and should you receive it, what it does for you is it costs $100 a year, so that's one of the barriers to kind of be aware of in there. But I do think it's well worthwhile. If you get that card as a medical cannabis patient, it actually removes all of the sales tax off of your products. So that $100 quickly goes away, and it's well worth it on that, especially if you are using for cannabis, for medical reasons that you need on there. It's a great program, but I just haven't seen very many people in California use it to date. So I'm hoping as we educate more, we'll see some more opportunities on that.
Okay, and as you said, a lot of it is really education, because I wasn't even aware of the distinctions, because, I mean, I go wherever I need to go, to get my cannabis so that, or, I get to test a lot. I'm lucky I get to test a lot of cannabis, so I get to bypass a lot of that. So we're going to, let's see what else we want to talk about. Okay. Oh, guess what? We have to do one of those things you have to do on radio and TV. We need to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue to be talking with Jonathan about cannabis and lots of other topics. So, we'll have the break. We'll be back. And then let's go on.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday Sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
The charity Keep the Esplanade Beautiful works all year to keep it clean and pristine. One of the ways they raise money is by hosting a fabulous 4th of July fireworks party at Avenue I in Riviera Village. When you buy a ticket, you'll get an afternoon of fun, live music, dancing, and ending with a spectacular firework display over the ocean. But they need help to sponsor the event. If you're a company in or even outside of Redondo Beach and would like to help, call 310-383-9895. 310-383-9895.
So what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Your Best Life on HealthyLife.net. I'm here with Jonathan to talk more about cannabis. Okay, Jonathan, we hear about Delta 8, Delta 9, Delta 10, cannabis versus hemp, THC, CBD, CBN, CBG. It's all so confusing. What are the differences? What's it all about?
I think you hit the nail on the head. It is very confusing, right? And it's been something more new of a phenomenon we've seen coming in here. In short, what it is that we have these category of chemicals, if you will, that come out of the cannabis / hemp plants called cannabinoids, right? So you've probably, the common one that we all know about is THC, right? We've heard about CBD as well, too, but now you're hearing about other ones like THCV, which, supposedly might help suppress appetites, right? Or there's a number of other ones kind of going in there. One of them that you mentioned is Delta 8. What's interesting right now, we've seen kind of going forward, is that the THC that we all are connected with and understand is Delta 9 THC. There's been this loophole, if you will, where the federal government didn't really ban Delta 8 THC. So now this is the fun stuff, if you remember from high school or college chemistry, where you have different isomers or different kind of variations of different chemicals in there. That's what we're talking about now, right? So you're seeing this Delta 8 stuff come in there. You're seeing Delta 10 come in there. You're seeing a variety of different ones go in that. And it's really been allowed for lack of better words, because on the federal government level, they had allowed for these cannabinoids to be coming in from hemp because they legalized hemp. But they didn't foresee all these other kind of opportunities that came in there. So you're seeing a lot of companies taking advantage of that. California, though, uniquely among some of the other states on there, we have invested into allowing and regulating a cannabis market, not a hemp market. So a couple years ago, we did actually put in place to where we banned those products in there. So if you see any, what they kind of contact, what they call a intoxicating cannabinoid, right, which is a Delta 8 on there, not necessarily a CBD. If you see those products in the market in California, they aren't actually legally here. So you're not able to legally purchase them, even though you've probably seen them in a number of different stores and smoke shops and all that. We're seeing enforcement is starting to come on that. But that's kind of where that comes in from, and that's been a part of the challenge when it comes to the cannabis industry going forward, you know. It's interesting because while communities are banning cannabis, you've got the hemp products that are flooding them, and it's like, wait a second, how does that make sense? From taxation to safety, regulation, you name it. And so that's kind of part of the process. We're still having to educate everyone as to what's the right way to do this.
Okay. And also, you mentioned the hemp product. Doesn't the only difference is that hemp has a 0.03% THC. Isn't that the only difference between the two plants? Or that, and one's a male and one's a female. Or
well,
that?
Even that, it really, you're absolutely right. It's really on that THC level. So with something that came in for federal government, you can grow a cannabis plant, what we would know to be a cannabis plant, or you can grow a hemp plant. As long as they don't hit over that 0.03% THC level, it's perfectly legal. And so that's where that distinction comes in, and that's where a lot of this confusion has come from that as well, too.
Okay. Okay. Well, then we're talking about the fact that there's some changes going on, and we're really excited about this, is that as of January 1st, California AB 1186, cities can no longer ban the delivery of medical cannabis products. So tell me a little bit about that.
That's kind of interesting. So it was Senator Wiener who put this bill forward for us, right? And Senator Wiener's been an interesting advocate when it comes to local control issues. And cannabis has been a big local control issue. But because of that, what we've seen in California is we've had a stall to where even with about 35 to 40% of actual cities in California have actually allowed for cannabis to come in, which is why we see that thriving illicit market still continuing in California. Senator Wiener saw an opportunity to say, hey, look, we need to still provide safe access to medical patients at the very minimum. Keeping in mind, we've had this medical history here in California for 20 years, like I mentioned before. And so, you know, to give them access on that, this bill passed, and what it allows is that any city that did not, prior to 2021, allow for legal retail sales of cannabis cannot prevent legal delivery of medical cannabis to those cities. So I'll use this here. I mean, many of the viewers here or listeners here probably know that. In Redondo Beach and all our beach cities, we all got attacked last year where Joan and I were phenomenal in making sure we stopped the outside voter initiative coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
But Manhattan Beach took a little bit of a different turn, didn't they, right? Do, if you don't mind?
They just prohibited everything.
Yeah, right. And so it's interesting because Manhattan Beach voted, I think they were at 63% in favor of Prop 64. But their city council put out a method to kind of combat this stuff in here to where they just voted to completely ban all forms of cannabis, any kind of activities in their city. So now they've made it illegal to get anything, but this is where Senator Wiener's bill comes in right now, this SB 1186, and says even if you banned it, it doesn't matter. You can't stop outside delivery coming into your city for medical patients. And I think that's a wonderful thing because we are providing that safe access, especially for those who need it the most.
And there's something on this that you and I are going to be doing that I'm really, really excited about.
Share that.
Is that, and you know more detail because you're working on getting the details before we really announce our program. But with this 1186, you're allowed to have pop-up education and venues where you can be talking about the cannabis and educating people on the cannabis and then give them information on how to order it. So we're going to be able to be there talking to people and educating them and giving them access. So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's really exciting. So where these cities have, you know, these restrictions coming, like Redondo's still been very behind on trying to get this, even though we've worked for years and there's a lot of progress coming there, and that's probably for another show, of course.
Yes.
But here in Redondo, while we're getting ready for that, what Joan and I are going to be doing out there is the state has allowed us to actually be able to showcase products, and we can have these education events where people can come down and understand what is the right product for them, what is a tincture versus flour versus a cart that they might, you know, have us on there, right? And so those are going to be really exciting opportunities in there. But even more so, it's nice that you can pair that opportunity up to educate with also giving them access, right, through delivery services and all that. So I'm very much looking forward to working on that with you, and I think it's going to be a great, responsible way to do that here in Redondo.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be so much fun. And also what I'm looking looking forward to is, I mean, we've been working together since 2017 on our advocacy here in Redondo. And what's really going to be great is that we're going to continue to do that. And if people want to know more about this, I always recommend either come to the city council meetings or listen to the city council meetings. You can listen on Zoom, on YouTube, I think on Facebook too. And you can go and you can find out if cannabis is going to be on the agenda. And if it is on the agenda, you're probably going to see either John and myself or both of us, you know, talking about cannabis. And it's just exciting that we're getting to this point. It's been 2017. I mean, I know we're both a little tired on all of this, but we're starting to see it happening. And the fact that we're going to be able to, you know, do these pop-up education, you know, is just going to be, I think, really helping it along. Also, what's really interesting, and I don't know how much time we have left, but it's about the taxation. One of the things that you mentioned is cities do not tax medical cannabis. Talk about a little bit about that.
Let's talk a little bit very specific here in Redondo. So in Redondo, one of the things we did is we passed a tax measure, but the council still hasn't set what that rate is. So now that we are able to legally access medical cannabis through delivery services, there is no tax here in Redondo. And to me, that's kind of the best of all the worlds right now, right? Where we talked a little earlier about the difference between the unlicensed and the licensed market. Well, here you are, you're getting licensed, tested, real products coming in here, and you're not going to have any of the taxes, at least for the foreseeable future. And on the medical side, Joan and I, we're certainly advocating to make sure that those taxes are minimal to hopefully nothing here in Redondo Beach, like we've seen in West Hollywood and other places, right? But then, you know, for the time being, that's going to be the opportunities we see here. So I think for the consumers in Redondo, be aware of that.
Okay. And plus the thing is, most people, do you realize there's up to about 35% tax on cannabis, which is absolutely disgusting. Listen, we need to wrap up this. And Jonathan, thank you for being my first guest on my show.
Honored.
It just, first of all, it makes it much easier for me because we talk about this all the time. And also, you're so knowledgeable about this. And we're going to be continuing to move forward, you know, on the cannabis. But now we have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about one of my other favorite subjects, sex. I love it.
The charity Keep the Esplanade Beautiful works all year to keep it clean and pristine. One of the ways they raise money is by hosting a fabulous 4th of July fireworks party at Avenue I in Riviera Village. When you buy a ticket, you'll get an afternoon of fun, live music, dancing, and ending with a spectacular firework display over the ocean. But they need help to sponsor the event. If you're a company in or even outside of Redondo Beach and would like to help, call 310-383-9895. 310-383-9895.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Thank you.
welcome back to Your Best Life on Healthy Life Net. And what contributes to your best life? More than a great, pleasurable sex life. Yes. Plus, it's a perfect time to launch my show and talk about sex with Valentine's Day just a few weeks away. First of all, disclaimer, please know I am going to be very direct when I talk about sex. I do not use medical terms. As I mentioned, I went to parochial school and was taught by the nuns. Plus, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. All we were told about sex was it was sinful to have sex before you got married, that you could get pregnant and ruin your life, that you'd catch a sexually transmitted disease, and that as a girl, your reputation would be ruined if people found out you were having sex. No one ever discussed masturbation for girls. Now, Catholic boys were taught that if they masturbated, they would grow hair on the palms of their hands. I mean, really, you can't make this stuff up. This is what we were told back then. Plus, boys were not taught how to pleasure their partners. They learned that they could get an erection, a.k.a. a hard-on, to stick into a woman's vagina, a.k.a. pussy, I'm going to use those words, and just keep on pumping in and out until they came. Wow, that was great for them, but what about us? You know, they were never taught that women needed more stimulation to reach an orgasm, and that 70% of women experience clitoral orgasms, not orgasms from penetration. The concept that a woman needs more than just their erect penis is foreign to them and deflates their male ego. And if a woman didn't come, it was their fault, my fault. They were frigid. Not that the man didn't know how to make love, and I can attest to that on a lot of men. And plus, sex was bad, bad, bad until you were married, and then it was supposed to be great and wonderful. Well, that really doesn't happen, because you can't be told something's bad, 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 and then switch. Sure. Right over that is good. Plus, women, we only did it to satisfy our husband's needs, not about our own sexual needs and pleasure. And we were never taught about the real pleasures of sex and how it creates that energetic, spiritual bond with our partners. You know, our bodies were designed for pleasure, but we need to be mentally and physically ready to enjoy it. And sex and orgasms are important to relationships, whether with your partner or yourself. In fact, there was a recent study in Psychology Today that discusses the many benefits of orgasm. Also, a statistic I heard and have used for years in my therapy is that sex is only 10% of a relationship. But if there's issues, it's 90% of the problems in a relationship. You know, and I think we've all experienced that, or hopefully not that often, but, you know, and also, let's get back to cannabis. Women finally have their own Viagra, and it is cannabis. Cannabis helps us relax. It opens up experiences to more sexual pleasure. It increases the blood flow into our genitals and so much more. I mean, I have to tell you, the first time I used a cannabis-infused lubricant, even I was surprised at how much it increased my pleasure. It was having all these multi-mini orgasms throughout my entire vagina and clitoris. It was amazing. So I'm a true believer on that. Also, recently, I tested a sexual tincture. It was great. It intensified the sense of touch so much that I could hardly keep my hands off my partner. It was just, I just wanted to touch, and I just wanted to have more sex. It was just great. So I recommend tinctures and also like beverages, which we'll talk about in the show, and especially lubricants. By the way, many women need additional lubrication to enjoy sex. There's nothing wrong with you if you don't lubricate, you know, on your own, because there's lots of help out there now. Also, as I mentioned, many women need additional stimulation to reach orgasm. So unless your partner knows how to delay coming, adding a vibrator to stimulate your clitoris, it just doesn't work. And, you know, so now you have a formula for sexual pleasure. You have the lubricant, you have cannabis, and then you have a vibrator. And it's the perfect formula for sexual ecstasy, pleasure, more orgasms, and a deeper connection with your partner. By the way, if men were taught how to delay coming, a.k.a. edging, which we'll talk about in another show, women would have more orgasms. I once had a lover who could maintain an erection and have sex for hours. I mean, we're talking 2, 3, 4 hours without coming. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a great experience. And this is when I learned, you know, what it was like to have multiple orgasms. I really never knew that before. But once again, you know, it's about education and communication with your partner. As I discuss in my book, Recipes for Hot Sex, and in my blogs, variety is the spice of life, and fantasy is one of these spices that you can be adding to your sex life. So just remember, and I'll keep on saying this, the basic tools, lube, cannabis, and a vibrator. Now, if you want to read more about my suggestions on how to have a hotter sex life, and I'm not just talking about normal sex life, I've talked about hot sex life, you know, and Valentine's Day, you can go to my website, Dr. Joan Irvine, and click on Ask Dr. Joan. There will be a blog there with some of the details from today's show and other tips or life hacks, as I like to call them. Since approximately 40% of people are visual learners, I think it's important to back up my shows with some written text and suggestions. So that we're going to be moving forward, and anything you have to throw in on this one, Jonathan.
I was just going to share, you know, I remember when the cannabis industry was coming out with a lot of these, infused lubes. I had a friend of mine, a man, who just had no idea how to make use of it. And so what you're talking about here, about education and what it is, it's not just for the women, the men as well, and they could really use some of that stuff in there. So I'd encourage you, as you keep exploring this stuff with your show, I certainly hope we'll be hearing more about that.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing, and people just don't know about it. And plus, we were never taught. I mean, even at my age, I mean, people kind of go, and I'm 75, and I still have a very active sex life. But everybody just goes, oh, sex, and they laugh, and they go like this, and they're going, no. I mean, we can be having sex. And if you're in a relationship, you're definitely going to be having sex. Also, you can have sex with yourself. Hey, masturbation is really important because you keep all that those good chemicals flowing in your body, and you just feel so good. And if you connect up with the energy from it, I mean, you can actually radiate. I mean, it's so much fun if you've just had sex to go out to the public and go to a bar or do something, because all of a sudden everybody, for some reason, they're just noticing you a little bit more. and I just love to play with that, because I wanted to go, I just had sex, and I'm eluding, I'm emitting all this wonderful energy. But people still don't want to talk about it.
They don't. It's still stigma, just like cannabis, right? And
uh-huh.
It's just out there, and yet it's a very much a realistic part of daily life from everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, and once again, if you don't have good sex in your marriage or in your relationship, it really has an effect. Because with clients, I'd have women go, well, we're not having sex, but he's okay with it. And I would talk to him, because I would always talk to couples together, apart and together, and I'd always say, hey, you know, you may be okay with it, but he's not.
Sure.
So that be real about that, because if you're not getting sex at home, and if you want sex, you're going to find it someplace else. So we need to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk about another topic that is close to my heart. Keep the Esplanade beautiful. Thank you, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
So in an emergency, who do you call?
You, Mom.
Neighbors teach their children the rules of personal safety. Don't go out alone. Always let an adult know where you're going. Say no if you feel threatened. And please, have a current picture of your child.
Hello, I'm Eve Schiff.
And I'm Alexa Schiff. My dad, Congressman Adam Schiff, wants your children to be safe.
So be smart and teach your child the basics.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The charity Keep the Esplanade Beautiful works all year to keep it clean and pristine. One of the ways they raise money is by hosting a fabulous 4th of July fireworks party at Avenue I in Riviera Village. When you buy a ticket, you'll get an afternoon of fun, live music, dancing, and ending with a spectacular firework display over the ocean. But they need help to sponsor the event. If you're a company in or even outside of Redondo Beach and would like to help, call 310-383-9895. 310-383-9895.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Your Best Life with Dr. Joan on Healthy Life Net. We're going to talk about, as I mentioned, keep the Esplanade beautiful. A lot of people don't know about this, but I started this nonprofit about 10 years ago. And the reason, and what we do is every first Saturday of the month, we do a sweep. We call it a sweep. We clean up the Esplanade. We pick up trash. We want to make sure that the Esplanade is just absolutely beautiful. The way this started is for about 11, 12 years ago, people were not keeping the Esplanade clean. It was full of dog poop. It was full of trash, full of cigarettes, you know, anything you can imagine. And people were, and then dogs urinating all over the place. It was just, it was really gross. And here we have one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's not just here, in the world. Is the Esplanade and the beauty and the scene, the Palos Verdes, and you can see all the way to Dana Point. It's just stunning. And plus, being by the ocean is so good for us, just actually on an energetic basis, because you have negative and positive ions, and so we balance each other out. And I was going to my city council district meetings, and this is when Steve Aspel was the mayor. Okay. And we, everybody, including myself, were bitching about this. We'd come every single meeting, we would complain. Nothing was being done. Finally, Jeff Ginsburg became our city council person, and the first meeting I went to, we started to complain again. And I finally said, hey, we have been complaining about this for like the last 8 years.
Was it really that long?
It was that long that people were complaining.
For anyone that knows Esplanade, that is too beautiful a place to have that for 8 years going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was just crazy. And I said to them, I said, okay, first of all, it's a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. I may have been out partying the night before. And I am here at 9 o'clock in the morning because I want to know what's going on in my city. I'm leadership Redondo. Sure. You know, I'm really involved in the city and I want to be able to contribute back. But I don't want to hear anybody, including myself, bitch about this unless we're going to do something about it. I mean, that at one point you just have to shut up and do something about it or don't talk. And Jeff was really good because I said, what can we do? Because we don't have money. You know, we're just starting off. And he goes, why don't you establish a Facebook group?
That's how you start. Okay.
And so he gave me a place to get started. Okay. And so we did a Facebook group. Plus, then when I did, then I went and I talked to the city because you just don't do this on your own. You want the city to know what's going on. So I went and I talked to Public Works because of Leadership Redondo. You know, I knew several people in the city, so I talked to everybody to find out how we could do it, what we needed to be doing. Do we need any permits? Do we need this? Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So I made sure that we were going to be doing it correctly. Then we started having these cleanups. So it was once a month we were having these cleanups. Got to the point that if you're going to really promote something like this and engage people, because we want to engage the community, because it can't just be done once a month. It has to be done on a full-time basis. So that we started to need things. You need to market yourself. And yeah. It comes down to marketing. And Jeff said to me, he goes, why don't you contact Athens Services?
That was smart.
Okay. Yeah, because their job is to keep it clean. They were picking up trash and all that. So I went to Athens Services and talked to them, told them what they were doing, what we were doing, and they gave us some money.
Really?
Okay. And they became our first sponsor, and that's when we were able to get our logo design, okay. Get the T-shirts done, the hats that people wear, and we were able to start to do, you know, more marketing. Also, so that was like a real start. Thank you, Athens Services. And they still support us. This year, we had our first community mixer since pre-pandemic, and they were our major sponsor. So that's they nice are there. There supporting us because they are into having beautiful,
of course,
clean, trash-free cities. So we did that. And then what we did also, as I said, we started having community meetings. So we realized that we needed to do more, not just the cleanup. So we started having an annual community meeting where Paul Hennessy from HT Grill, he gives us the Napa room, and we have an event there. So we talk about what we've done. We talk about what our goals are for the next year. We give an award to a volunteer of the year. Mm-hmm. And also we give an award to a public works person.
Nice to recognize them. Yep.
They're the ones that keep it clean.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not like we're doing it. They're doing it on a daily basis. But one of the things about public works, when we first started, they were only cleaning the Esplanade once a month during the summer.
Oh, that was not enough.
No,
absolutely not.
Not enough. Okay. And so that they started doing it once a week. And plus they have to power wash. We were going, hey, we'll bring out water. Because they have to power wash and they have to reclaim the water. Got it. Can't go down the hill. So there was a lot of things that we were limited on doing. So please, everybody, first Saturday of the month, we meet by Saks at the beach, and we're actually, like this past weekend, we had like 18 Cub Scouts from, PAC 555. And so that the kids are learning the importance of volunteering, the importance of the environment, and what they can do about it.
If I could just share, I've had a couple opportunities to actually participate in this, and I haven't heard that history, how you got started. That's really incredible. But I have to say, while it's nice to be a part of the community and help clean up on there, I think it's incredibly rewarding to see when you're walking past others or just out there enjoying their day, them just saying thank you. That is so rewarding, and it just makes me keep wanting to come back. And I hope whoever's listening here, if you haven't had a chance, please come out to where Joan was saying, keep the Esplanade beautiful Saturday mornings once a month. It's just the easiest and nicest way to be able to participate in community and really make a good impact.
Well, thank you. And as you said, you're there and you're picking up trash and people are saying thank you. And you're going, wow, how often do we get instant gratification like that?
Yeah.
And for something, it's really so simple. But another thing that we're doing is, and we've been doing this now for a couple years, but this is the first year I've been like in charge of it. We're doing a 4th of July fireworks at Avenue I.
Oh, that's exciting.
So really exciting because people were used to having fireworks because there was a woman in Torrance that used to be doing the fireworks, and thousands of people would come. They'd be on the beach. It was their a tradition to do it. And when she died, her kids just, they didn't keep it up.
No.
So it's come. Jeff Ginsburg wanted it to continue on. We brought it under Keep the Esplanade Beautiful because it is community outreach. So what we're working on, I mean, we're just getting all the applications in now. It's just mind-boggling.
But I'm so glad you're doing it. Thank you.
Yeah. And so what we do is we're going to have fireworks. We don't know whether we're going to have them from the sand or from the water. We're working on that. Then we have like a beer garden like you do at festivals, and we have like three bands, and there's food. And so it's just a fun time that people can come together and share. And so this year, hopefully, it's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. I look forward to that. Especially last year, we didn't have fireworks. So this is going to be really exciting to kind of have that.
Oh, yeah. We were stopped from having fireworks 4 weeks beforehand. So I don't even want to go into that. That was horrible. But one of the things I also want to get back to, I had mentioned about life hacks. I talk about life hacks. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to conclude with an easy one and to tell people a great way to start the day. Have you ever heard that expression? Got out of bed on the wrong side of bed means you're kind of grumpy or whatever. Well, we know focusing on positive messaging and physical movement early in the day is good for us. It sets the mood for the rest of the day. If nothing else, it helps us balance the many stressors we're going to be experiencing during the day. I'm not even going to be able to talk about it, but just start your day by dancing. I dance to James Brown, I Feel Good, every morning. And this physical movement releases powerful, natural, feel-good chemicals in our bodies, just like sex does. and I'll talk more about the process at another show. But it does give you a little bit of a boost. But I want you to thank you for listening to my debut show. I hope that you learned something that will help you have your best life. If you want to listen to this show again, it will be in my archive on healthylife.net for the next 3 months. If you have comments, suggestions, or questions, please email me at drjoan@drjoanirvine.com. My next show will air February 28th. So until then, to health, happiness, hot sex, and live your best life. And Jonathan, thank you again for being here.
Congratulations again. Looking forward to tuning in.
Thank you.
The charity Keep the Esplanade Beautiful works all year to keep it clean and pristine. One of the ways they raise money is by hosting a fabulous 4th of July fireworks party at Avenue I in Riviera Village. When you buy a ticket, you'll get an afternoon of fun, live music, dancing, and ending with a spectacular firework display over the ocean. But they need help to sponsor the event. If you're a company in or even outside of Redondo Beach and would like to help, call 310-383-9895. 310-383-9895.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. Keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.